Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to have a full house today for this incredible conversation I anticipate that we'll be having. We have Sean Pugh.
Correct.
Oh, thank goodness. Not always, because clearly I didn't just now, but I always want to make sure I can pronounce first and last names correctly, and I didn't do that with your last name. So Sean Pugh, who is the pastor and life coach with Spirit-Led Life Coach and Bethlehem Lutheran Church. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Karen.
We have you to thank for this gathering today. I guess we have Dan, my studio ambassador, yes, and intern to thank. But when we invite guests for the first time, we always like to say, who is in your pack? Who would be willing to come and help you tell your success story? And folks that might be power partners or clients and just powerful people. So we've done that today, and we want to thank you for bringing along with you two amazing individuals. Karen Camblin, your computer lady. Welcome, Karen.
I'm the computer lady.
Okay. Pamela Burr. Your computer lady.
Yes.
Very good. Got it. Thank you for the correction. Wow, I really got that mixed up. And Karen Camblin, senior loan officer with Guild Mortgage.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're on the track, yes, and we're moving along. Very good. So I would love to first hear, and any one of you can speak to this, how do the three of you know each other? And then let's talk a little bit about each of your stories and who you serve.
We are all in a women's networking group called WSRG, or Women's Success Referral Group. I have been in it for 10 years, and currently I'm the longest sustaining member up there. However, Karen, you've been there how long?
7.5 years.
And Pamela?
5 years.
Wow, I had no idea that that organization has been around that long.
11.5 years.
Yeah.
And it is an amazing group. 45 women meet every Thursday from 9:30 until 11:15, and they're all business owners, and it's just an incredibly powerful group of women. And if you want something done, like feeding the homeless or doing something like that, it's amazing when you've got that many high-spirited and high-powered people that truly have big hearts and just want to care.
So it's about giving back to the community. There's a charitable aspect. There is a networking and education aspect as,
yes,
well, right? So,
yes.
And you meet where?
We made at Black Bear Diner.
Still at Black Bear Diner. So when Sean got here this morning, I looked at her and I said, I know you. And she's like, oh, you do? I had the opportunity to be a guest. I think it's been about maybe 2 years, maybe longer, a year. Well, I've been twice. Once as a guest, I think of Luann's. And then I was a substitute for Susan Worley, who happens to be my Juice Plus gal and dear friend. I happened to be there the day that you spoke, Sean, and you were really, and we'll talk about this, of course. That's why we're here today, talk about just purpose and life and getting through those transitions and how God is a piece of that for each of us and how you help people find their way. But after hearing you speak, you happened to be the guest speaker that day. I kind of tucked you into my mind and my heart as someone I need to follow up with. And I don't remember the span of time that it took for me to reach out. But I then called, I think, and or emailed and said, I need some help with a kiddo of mine. And we talked by phone. And I know that you, after that, you spoke to my son as well. And I was so grateful. In fact, I'd have to go back and look at the email. But I know that I followed up and said, wow, thank you for just being of service, I think, more for me than anything else. And so I've had a chance just to come a couple of times. You meet weekly? You might have said this already. Do you meet weekly then?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think you have a waiting list, don't you?
Yes.
Right. So, and is it similar to some other groups where accountability and networking groups where it's one business or industry is represented?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And what, if you each could tell me, what is your favorite thing? Like, I mean, with 10 years and 7 years and 5 years, why do you keep going back week in and week out? Karen, would you start for us?
It is my main source of business.
Oh, wow.
I do not, being in the mortgage world, there's lots of ways to get your business. And I have found that to be a very strong source. I'm not a fly-by-night type of person. And I think the people in there are in there to better themselves as well as all of the other members in that group. We form our own sales force out of that group rather than individual take, take, take.
Love it. And are you the current president?
I am.
Yeah. So right after Luann, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. And how long will that term be for you?
3 weeks left.
Oh my gosh, we're catching you at the tail end.
Yes.
And has the successor been named already?
In 2 weeks.
Okay. And do you already know?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay. Wow. So 2 more weeks.
I think she's sitting to my left.
Really?
Since she is running unopposed, the chances are really good.
Oh, that's so fun. Well, I won't congratulate you in advance because I don't want to be presumptuous, but congratulations.
And we'll let you know.
Yes, please do. Let me know. So how fun. So it's your main source of business, Karen, and you love the reciprocity is what I'm hearing. It's this giving that Sean spoke to, but also people wanting to better themselves.
Correct. We have watched members come in that had never networked, had never been in business, and 2, 3, 4 years later, it's amazing that they can get up and present in a room of 45 women and how much stronger they become. And knowing that that's part of because of who we are makes it all worth it.
So proud of that, aren't you? Yeah. Sean, how about you? What is your favorite thing about being a long-term member and potential future president?
For me, there are 45 women there, and women are together, we speak from our heart, and if it gets safe enough, we can speak from our gut. And so it's not a networking group where it's a bunch of talking heads. It's a networking group where it's a bunch of hearts. And we have held up people through breast cancer. We have held up people through deaths of spouses, through deaths of children, through just horrible, horrible things. I've had 2 knee surgeries and had people deliver food to my house. I mean, we're that kind of group. And yes, we definitely, when someone says they need a mortgage, the first person that comes to my mind is Karen. And I know that she will give them fabulous service because she's given me fabulous service several times and my children. And when I talk about anything to do with computers, Pamela is who I call, and she helps out the church quite frequently and church members too. And so you get to know the people. So when you're recommending them, you can really stand behind it. It's not just someone whose business card you've picked up.
What a great way to explain who you all are. I'm hearing that you're a family and you all have chosen to walk life together.
Yes.
Love it. Pamela, how about you? Your favorite thing?
Work from a home office by myself. And it's very easy. And it's very easy for me to get isolated and to just get too focused. So going to WSRG every week reminds me there are other people in the world with other interests and things that they can teach me, things that I can teach them. And so that has been very beneficial and very, very good for me. As Karen said, there have been women that have come in that have never spoken in front of a group before. And I helped start the training on doing that, which I love to do. And I always tell them, this is the friendliest group you will ever speak to. These people are friendlier than your family. They want you to succeed. And I've watched them grow. You know, the first time I thought Elizabeth was going to have a heart attack when she spoke. Now she's up there cracking jokes and doing demonstrations and so comfortable with it. But it's because she knows the support of that group.
Wow. It is amazing. This segment is not just dedicated to WSRG. In fact, I hadn't even known that you all were part of that. So I'm glad we had a chance to kind of promote it. Karen, would you be willing to explain how folks... do you have to be nominated and referred, or how, even though you have a waiting list, how could someone listening, a woman listening in the Gilbert area, right, kind of East Valley area, how could she get involved?
If they contact one of our members, they can find out if there's a competing category. And if there's not, because we are one category per person.
Sure.
And if they're non-competing, we would love to have them visit. They can come visit 2 times. And if they're the right fit for the group, we'll see where it goes.
Okay.
There is a Facebook group page if they want to check that out. That way they can send a message that's always answered.
Perfect. And WSRG, is that the Facebook group or is it women? And what does it stand for? Women's Success Referral group. But it is WSRG
on Facebook.
Very good. All right. That helps. We'll lay that aside. Although feel free to bring it back up again, because clearly there is so much richness and life within that group. So kudos to all of you who share and celebrate and work together. And again, shout out to Luann and Susan for introducing me to the group all those months ago. So let's talk about each of your respective businesses, if we can, and just start off by telling us a little bit about what your company, who your company is, and you know, the benefits of working with you and the folks that you serve. And again, I'm happy to just open it up to anybody.
I'll start. Your Computer Lady is a marketing support company. So we do websites, email marketing, and social media. I think that the thing that really is different about Your Computer Lady is I'm not a computer person. I'm a business person who uses computers.
Love it.
So often I'm the translator between the website programmer and the client, because they know what they need for their business and the programmer only knows the programming aspect. So I'm the middle person to say, this is what you need. This is what they mean. And to get everybody talking on the same page. And so I try to work with clients on all of those issues and bring it together. They have one point of contact. They have somebody who really learns their business and knows what they like and what they dislike. That simplifies the process.
And you handle social media as well?
Yes.
And with the developers, do you have multiple developers you work with?
Yes. I work with a whole team. I'm the sole employee, but I work with a team of consultants. A lot of them are stay-at-home moms. One of my developers is in Germany now, but we do everything over the internet, so it doesn't matter where he's sitting. And so I can pull in the right person for the right job. If somebody has a complicated Excel spreadsheet they need done, I have somebody who's great with Excel. If they need something, a flyer put together, I have somebody who's great with Publisher. And so I can pull in the right people at the right job. And it makes everybody happy. The stay-at-home mom gets to stay at home and work when she wants to work. And the client gets a high quality of work at a very reasonable price.
I love that. I got this image of you standing in front of this beautiful orchestra as the conductor.
It's kind of like
now,
that some days.
You know, yeah, let's bring in the violinist. And now let's hear from the drums and let's just get everybody together. Wonderful.
Share how you got your name, Pamela. I love that story.
Yeah, it's interesting you asked that, because Your Computer Lady did not, I was thinking just, you know, like the tech stuff.
Right. Well, originally the company was a partnership with my husband and I, and the company name was PBG Associates. And George would run a lot of my errands and deliveries for me, and everybody would always yell, oh, it's the computer lady. Or, you know, it's something from the computer lady here. Or when I called, they would say, oh, it's the computer lady on the phone. So after my husband passed, I changed the name and it became Your Computer Lady.
Makes sense if that's what they're calling you and how they're referring. And that's the connection, of course, that makes sense. And from the marketing gal herself.
It works.
Yep, it works. Love it. So thank you. And we'll circle back around as well to learn more. Actually, real quick before we do that. Yeah, just put that headset right on top of your head, because it tends to fall back if it's not right on the top of our dome. Is there a particular niche or vertical that you like to work with, or like these other ladies, are you finding that a good portion of your business comes from within this community, WSRG?
I do a lot of business with WSRG members and referrals, but really my niche is small business, the person who needs help. They can't hire somebody to come in and do it. You know, they don't need a full-time social media manager. Mm-hmm. They just need somebody to help out.
Very
good.
And
that's where I can do the best.
And that might be brick and mortar. It might be online.
Yes.
Yes.
It could be either one.
And do you have clients outside of Arizona?
Yes.
Very good.
I've got some in North Carolina that I've never met.
Yeah.
I have a contractor in Texas that I've only met once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it doesn't matter, because so much of what we do with online meetings, with online storage, with online apps, it doesn't really matter where you are.
Yeah. And how long have you been in business then with both your husband and now for yourself?
22 years.
Wow. In some form or another, all around supporting businesses with their computer and digital needs.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on a successful career. Very
Thank
fun.
You.
What did you do before that? You were just out of high school?
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Yes. I'll get the tip.
Right.
Before that, amazingly, I was in commercial credit and accounting.
Oh, wow.
So complete change. This was all by accident.
Yeah. So it's a second act for you.
Definitely.
Wonderful.
Definitely.
All right. Karen or Sean, either of you, who do you serve? What's the name of your company? And if there's a specific group or type of person that you'd love to work with best, be sure to share that as well. Karen?
Okay. So I'm a senior loan officer with Guild Mortgage Company. We do residential mortgages, VA, FHA. We have some first-time home buyer programs, as well as amazing jumbo and conventional programs. I've been in the business 16 years. I do my business a little bit differently that I never chased down realtors. I love my realtors. I love realtors. But I went the other direction with more of the referral networking and building my business from that.
So referrals, right? Obviously, Sean mentioned that she's used you several times, and so has her kids. And of course,
and
the wonderful WSRG group. And that's unique, isn't it? Because many mortgage brokers and our lenders are kind of, as you said, chasing down those realtors, and it works for them. That's why they do
Correct.
It. They find a couple of realtors mm-hmm. that will feed them business. But you took a different approach and built those relationships with the people that you love to do business with, and they in turn are your talking pieces for you.
Yes, they're my bigger sphere.
Yeah.
I do have a handful of agents that refer. You know, I am their lender, but it's just something I've never gone after. I do some presentations at different businesses for their first time home buyers, or I get a grasp on what their clientele or the diversity of their employees are, and mm-hmm. I'll go in and do presentations to see if there's a way I can help them own in the future.
Love it. And that's very smart to not only rely on a referral business, mm-hmm. but still going out there
yes.
and making those connections with new people and taking that responsibility. I think that's a very important decision as a business.
Yep.
And so Guild Mortgage.
Love Guild.
Yeah, how long have you been with them?
I have been there 3.5 years.
Wow.
Yes.
And so how many different offices do they have?
We are across the country. They have been in business 60 years.
Oh, wow.
We are a direct servicer. So a good portion of our loans, once you close, you will pay Guild, which is kind of nice because if somebody has an issue with their mortgage, they can call me directly and we can get it taken care of, whether it's insurance or taxes or just an overall question. So I love it. They have a very bottom-up sense of thinking. They have pillars and characters. I guess that's the way to say it, that fit my goals and who I am as a person. I've worked at a company that made you feel horrible. And I went to Guild, and one of the very first sales rallies I went to, they talked about work-life balance and how important it was to our top executives that we all feel that work-life balance. I could not work for a better company.
And they meant it.
They meant it.
It wasn't just a talking point.
It was not.
Yeah.
Daily, they plug that into us.
I love hearing that. So often, I think companies want to pride themselves or at least put it out there to everybody else that they have this great
right.
culture and or they really value you as stakeholders and individuals. And then you go take a peek behind the scenes and only to find out that that's not the case.
It's real.
Yeah. We actually have a show called Culture Crush that comes out of our studio here with our host, Deb Karen. And we talk about specifically that looking for the cultures that we can crush on that we really know are true to who they say they are. So good for you for finding such a beautiful fit.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
And, we get recruiting calls or texts a lot. And it's a very easy answer. If they find out I'm working with Guild, they go, oh, okay.
Oh, wow. So even industry-wide,
yes.
people are acknowledging that it's just a great company to be aligned with and
yes.
work for.
Correct.
Very good. Is there anything that you can tell us market-wise with the real estate market or even lending that's kind of a hot topic or I was going to say trend, but I don't think that's the right word.
So first-time home buyer programs are big. And Guild has their own premier product. It's called a 3-2-1. It's a 3% down payment, a $2,000 Home Depot gift card at closing, and a $1,500 lender credit from Guild. And we service that. And in order to be a first-time home buyer, you just have not had a mortgage in your name in 3 years.
Oh,
which
in
a
3 years,
lot of people
my eyes
don't realize. So if you're coming out of that short sale or foreclosure or bankruptcy
yeah.
and you have not owned in 3 years, you are considered a first-time home buyer.
It's a fresh start for someone like that.
Correct.
Or truly the someone who's never had the opportunity to own before.
Correct.
Wow.
There tend to be some income limits on that program, but we do have a plethora of product available.
Yeah, if that's not the
yep.
one, then you can help
yep,
them find
exactly.
something else. Love it. Very good. Well, thank you. We'll circle
thank
back
you.
Around to you as well. Sean, how about you?
The name of the company is Spirit Led Life Coach. And as you've said, I'm also the pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church.
Have been doing both those roles for quite some time now.
I have. I've been a life coach since 2009, and I've been at Bethlehem since 2010.
Wow.
I have served the church, though, in a position of either pastor or deaconess for 22 years now. So to me, the two go different. And what makes me a little bit different life coach than other life coaches is that I have a very core belief that everybody is created very special and very individualized by God. And what I try to do is work with people so that they will become the very best person they can be. It's not a, okay, you come in the first time and we do A, and then the second meeting we do B, and the third meeting we do C. It's come in and just let me hear where you are. And everybody needs a different viewpoint. They come in as a different human being. And so that's where I go with that as far as the life coaching aspect of it does. A lot of people have gotten messed up by their belief in God too. And so sometimes people will hesitate to come to me because they're afraid I'm going to, quote, shove God down their throat, and that's not the case. And other people come because they want God to have real distinct boundaries. There's a right way and a wrong way, and sometimes that's not the case either, that the lines can be muddled. And so a lot of people deal with what I call television theology, stuff that they have either read on television, in books or on television. And so they just have their minds kind of messed up in what they really believe. And a lot of shame comes with that. And so I deal with a lot of that.
Shame is a big deal, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. I know it has played quite a role in my life, and I've had to, and I continue to clear and make sure that I'm in alignment with who I know that God has created me to be. But it's this ever going journey.
Yes.
It's funny today, a video just released, a 3-video series with Maria Tomas Keegan. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She wrote a book. I think it's called Transition and Thrive, or that's the name of her company. Upside Down, Right Side Up is her new book. And she, in fact, I think you'd all be great candidates to do an interview with her. But we are talking about what our journey is in life and the transitions that we've had. And so this 3-part series, I was speaking to very candidly about how God and my spiritual life is what gets me through. And I'm very visible with my transitions, my career transitions, and just what's happening in life, because I believe that I am of service when I can allow people to kind of peek in and see the difficulties that I might be having and how I can get through them through grace and dignity. It doesn't always look like that in the middle of it, right? We go through the muck and the yuck, but we need someone like you to help us. I believe we need someone like you to help us define and get inside to see who we really are. Do you ever find that when people come to you, they're pissed off at God and they're angry? And is there room for that? Or shame on me for even saying that?
Absolutely, there's room. Yes, I will have people knock on the door to come in and just burst into tears and say, I started crying before I even got out of the car. Often my office is called the Kleenex Vortex because it's a very safe place.
Kleenex Vortex.
A very safe place for every kind of emotion. And yes, with God, they feel that they're unworthy and the shame is there. And so if they're unworthy, how can God possibly love them? And God created them. Of course, God loves them totally and absolutely. And so to get to that point, usually there are a lot of tears and there is a lot of anger. And those are just all of the different steps in grief. And we all deal with grief every single day in everything we do.
Sean and I both have the Southern girl background, you know, where
I didn't notice that about you. Just kidding. Yeah. I hear it in your voice. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. So, you know, we have, you know, you can only say certain words and in certain tones and always polite no matter what. So one time when Sean and I were talking, she wanted me to write some letters to God, specifically expressing how I was feeling. And she made the comment, you can use whichever words you want to.
And you
God
did,
can
and
handle
did.
It.
Yeah, he hears them anyway. He hears them going on in here, right?
So might as well use
Uh-oh.
Them.
Right. Karen, you didn't know that? No, I'm just kidding.
Oops.
That's wonderful. So great technique to write letters and just have a way to get it out, huh?
Absolutely.
And some people process things with letters, so that's better for them. But I've had clients that were very good artists. And so whatever they needed to deal with, they were able to do it in an artist painting. I've also had people that were beautiful poets and were be able to get to their souls through poetry. And some people just need to talk. And so at that point, we just put the chair out and let them just talk at that chair and really let them have it.
And I personally have done all those things throughout my life of therapy and coaching and consulting, both not only as a practitioner, but also somebody who's desperately needed that guidance from a professional. I'm so grateful for people like you in my life because I haven't known how to navigate it well on my own. I had a lot of different tapes that were given to me and that I chose to kind of hang on to, cling to, that weren't necessarily the best fit for me. And so I love the work that you do, and I love that it's directly spiritually led. It's also not cookie cutter, what I'm hearing, and that's very important. So many people out there have, and I know some of the things that they offer work for people, but I love that you just sit back and you are guided and led because you are then listening to who they are, and then you pull out the tools and the techniques that you want to use to work with them, knowing what works well. Karen, I know you were nodding your head earlier. Have you also had an opportunity to have Sean support you?
Yes, for years in many aspects. I have seen Sean personally for personal and business, and both of my daughters have seen her separately and then with me. And the most, I guess the biggest thing that means that when we saw Sean was almost 3 years ago when Officer David Glasser was taken. My husband worked with him in Maryvale. The four of us kind of just went through the motions in life the next couple days. There were a lot of people who initially thought that was my husband when the incident happened. I said to Sean, and my husband is not a spiritual person, although Sean has convinced him to come out and speak to her confirmation class, and I've gotten him in her office. But she invited the four of us out to just vent. And through that process, we were each able to see what we were thinking about this incident and how it was affecting us individually, from my husband's standpoint as a professional to his personal life and dealing with us as a family, my perspective as a wife of an officer and protecting my children, and then both of our girls, like, what if? And it brought out in my younger one something that we had never realized bothered her so much, that she had lost a friend 2 months prior. And she was upset about it, but she never expressed those feelings until we were in Sean's office. So the four of us took away from there was amazing, because I don't know that we could have moved forward the way that we did after that.
Wow. What a great testimony. Thank you for sharing. And so much there, right? I mean, that's such a perfect example of how you serve families and individuals with so many different things going on. I'm sure you recall having an opportunity to be of service to them.
Absolutely, and felt very honored anytime I can be of service, especially to the officers that serve us. It is a beautiful and wonderful thing.
My brother is the SWAT sergeant for the city of Chandler, and he's been doing that for a career. And every time when there's something that goes down, that's when I'm reminded how quickly his life could be taken from us. And again, in service of our community and others. And I'm grateful for his service. We haven't had to deal with tragedy. I mean, we've had plenty of tragedies in our lives, but not that. So kudos to you for having someone in your life who could so elegantly help all of you work through it.
It was amazing.
How old were the girls at the time, if I could ask?
So Samantha would have been 16. And Grace would have been 14.
Okay. So, Sean, you work with people of all ages then, pretty much?
I do. I can work with younger children that need to have a task laid out for them. If they're on some kind of doctor's medication with ADHD or whatever, then I can work with them to get a plan in place so they can get rewards for what they do right. And my technique with that is to have them come down, and I just keep a whole bunch of dominoes in my office, and we put them on the floor and just talk to them as they are putting the dominoes together. And I have a couple of cars, because most of the time these are males, and they're just rolling the dominoes and the cars out and the dominoes out and making houses and just telling me what's going on. And so then we get a plan, and then the child signs it, the parents sign it, and we have consequences if and then gifts if they don't do it. So
yeah,
that's working with that. And then with middle schoolers and high schoolers, there's all kinds of different things. I've worked with some bullying, and then have oftentimes when parents are going through a divorce, and the divorce isn't necessarily nasty, but it's still a loss, especially for that child, to have them come in and just talk about what that's like, and that there's going to be a new normal, and that they're going to have one home at one parent's house and one home at the other parent's house, and that that's okay. And just to have a safe place to say whatever they need to say. So that helps that way. Also can help people that are trying to decide what they want to take when they go to college. Sometimes they don't know that. They don't have an idea what that is. And so I use Myers-Briggs a whole lot with that and to figure out who they really are. And then it, life goes on from there. So,
wow, you really do serve
the whole range.
The whole range. Yeah. And that, I love that because it, I think it's perfectly fitting with your church community as well. We are the whole range, aren't we? As a community and individuals. So to have a life coach who has the skill set, I'm also going to say the tenacity to just shift and be available to people in all walks of life is very commendable.
I think the thing that prepared me most for being a pastor is the fact that I was the mother, or I still am the mother of four grown adults. And we're blessed with 17 grandchildren. And so there are so, and the eldest one's 12.
Wow.
No twins.
How many?
17.
Under the age of 12
and
down.
Under, yes.
From four kiddos.
Yes.
Those are robust families.
Well, yeah. One of my daughters has blessed us with nine.
Yes.
And so yeah, with that, there's always different ages. And to see that. So I'm very in the know. I can tell you more about Paw Patrol than probably the other people that are sitting here. And to know that aspect. And so it's something that is in part of my daily life. And then it's something that I can really relate to a variety of people on.
My oldest, Samantha, had a shoulder surgery when she was 12, and took her to Sean because she just was not coming out of post-surgery depression. And mm-hmm. She was a swimmer and thought her life was, you know, swimming was going to be done. And the one thing Sean said to her when we went to Sean, and Sean just played different games with her and did different challenges. And what came out of it is Samantha was angry with her shoulder. And so she yelled at her shoulder. She cried at her shoulder. She screamed at it. She walked over there and got in the pool as soon as she could and continued to swim for the next couple of years. Now, fast forward 6 years, she's down at college. We had a horrible October and fall, and Sam was struggling at school. We had some loss. And I said, why don't you call Sean? And I texted her the number, and it took her a day or two. And Sean was kind enough to have a session with Samantha over the phone. And I got a text that night that said, Mom, I feel so much better. So it's the Ray. I mean, that's 6 years of growth in a child.
Right, in a child, which is so important. As parents, the conscientious parent and the spiritual parent wants to have offer the right guidance, wants to be there, but we don't always have the right answers or the right, and our kids listen to us differently, right? So we discussed in the green room before we came in, I don't have the years of experience you do, but I've chosen a professional life as a life coach, and a big portion of that is spiritual coaching. But my kiddos, they're like fingers up and like, don't do that stuff on me, right? And I'm like, you should see my client list. Like, this is a list of very impressive people, and you're not going to listen to what I have to say, but they sometimes don't, right? So how great that you could just plant that seed and say, hey, why don't you talk to Sean again? And for her to have that as a young woman, to know that she always has that guidance and is willing to listen is phenomenal.
And I carry with me my little acronym, WWCD or WWCS, what would Sean do or what would Sean say?
I love that. I know there's another version of that. That's fun, a lot of fun. So you work with youth, you work with families, you work with individuals, you help folks work through transition and grief, as well as career shifts and changes. I know, Karen, you had briefly mentioned that before we talked a little bit more about your family experience with Sean, but she's helped you in business as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And Pamela, you too?
Yes. Sean has helped me a lot with really mainly with grief issues.
Okay.
I had some very big losses, and Sean helped me work through those. And because it was affecting work and life balance and the whole picture. So she really worked with me to work through those issues and get at least a better handle on them.
And you mentioned earlier that your husband has passed on. How long ago was that?
He has been gone now 17 years.
17 years. So you didn't know Sean back then, but but some of that has probably come to play as you've experienced other grief.
Oh, absolutely. There were several, and some in a very short period of time. A daughter, two grandparents, both parents, and my husband, and in a relatively short period of time. So I never got over one circumstance before the next one happened. And while I thought I had handled things pretty well and dealt with it, they just kept coming back up and coming back up. So Sean and I did a lot of work to talk through those issues, talk about how to move on. You know, what do you do? Because you never get over grief. It's not like, oh, you've gone through 1 year now, you're done. It's always there, but life goes on. And so how do you do that? What does it look like? How do you do that without feeling guilty or ashamed of it? And, you know, how do you move on? And so she helped a great deal with that. And one of the big tools that you referred to was the Myers-Briggs analysis, which has just, I mean, for me, it was a big eye-opener, but I've heard that many times in people talking to Sean at WSRG. Oh, that test. Wow. What an eye-opener that was. Yeah. And test is the wrong word, but.
Sure.
The personality inventory.
Inventory. Yeah. That inventory made such a difference. And it has helped parent to child, husband to wife, business partners. It makes a huge impact. So I think that's a big factor of what you do.
So that's one of the tools that you use. You want to speak to Myers-Briggs for our folks who are listening and may not be familiar with it?
Sure. Myers-Briggs was created by Myers and Briggs. That's the name. And it's using Carl Jung and Jungian philosophy. And what it does is you answer a set or the inventory that I use. It's a set of questions, 72 of them, and they're yes and no. And then you come up with four letters and four percentages. And so each of us sitting around this table could have the same letters, but because our percentages would be different, we would still address things differently. For instance, if all of us were introverts, and I'm going to pick on you here, Pamela.
Okay.
Pamela, being a very strong introvert, would, for every hour that she is with a whole lot of people, then she would need a set amount of time away from people to be able to, because when she's with people, she's not able to process what's going on. She needs later time to process what's going on.
Hello, sister.
Yeah.
That's me.
And just to give a practical example of that, I love the WSRG meetings, but it is 2 hours of heavy on time for me. And I have learned now, Thursday afternoon, I'd better not plan anything or someone's head is going to be bitten off. I've got to have that downtime. So it's not bad. It's just that on time makes a big difference. And I never understood that before taking the Myers-Briggs inventory. So I didn't realize why I felt that way. You know, I enjoyed this. Why do I feel so bad now?
Yeah, that's great.
And that explained it.
And so it isn't bad, and there's nothing wrong with it. It just, when you're planning out your week, it gives you the opportunity to know, okay, I'm going to be with a lot of people on Monday, so I probably on Tuesday don't need to have that. So it allows people to plan their weeks that way. Therefore, if you're an extrovert, one of the worst things you could do would be to stay at home all by yourself and be the only person that you see all the time, because that's going to, where that might really make Pamela feel wonderful,
perfect,
that's going to make the extrovert feel horrible.
And are you looking at Karen when you say that?
Maybe.
If the shoe fits, that's all I can say.
I love it. So how young, and not that you might have a hard age, but how young have you used Myers-Briggs with? Is there a recommendation for?
I would prefer 18 and up. I can go as young as 16 if the 16-year-old is very mature. Mm-hmm. But if you go any younger than that, they spit out what their parents are going to say.
I see.
And that's just developmental the way it should be.
Yeah.
And so 16-year-olds are just learning to come into their own. And so they're going to have a lot of their parents' viewpoints and that kind of thing.
Is this a tool and an inventory that you use with everybody, or do you just, like the rest of your practice, you kind of wait and see where the need is?
a lot of times people will call up and say, I was referred to you and I'm not quite sure what I'm there for. So the Myers-Briggs is a safe way to come in.
Excellent.
And so then people can understand who they are. And a lot of what I do is built on trust, because I'm asking people to share their innermost thoughts that sometimes they haven't even shared with themselves. And I know that. And so if they've been in WSRG with me or they're part of the congregation, then they already know that. But if they've just been referred from someone, there needs to be that safe place to come in and to start getting to know who I am and start trusting me. Because if you're not going to trust me, I'm not going to take your money. It's not going to be helpful. Now, that doesn't mean at another time it might be. Mm-hmm. But as we discussed earlier, when you're working with somebody, you need to trust them and have a rapport with them. And not everybody's going to be the right person for everybody.
Right. So I love that you shared that you work with people outside of your congregation as well as WSRG. I know I asked Pamela this earlier. Do you work with folks outside of Arizona, or do you do consultations by phone or Zoom, or do they have to come and see you? Kind of what's the makeup there?
I have done people that aren't there and that are outside in different states.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
My sister, my niece, and my nephew have all talked to Sean at various times, all by phone because they're in Texas.
Excellent. And great. You picked two powerful women, obviously, to come and share your story and their own stories. But I love that these, I'll call them testimonials for lack of a better word, are so fluid, right? I mean, clearly the relationships run deep. There's not only a friendship here, but also there's this great respect among the three of you. And I'm sure your greater community, both with the church, but also WSRG, where it's an exchange for services as well. There's an actual business transaction there as well amongst all of you. And it's wonderful to hear that.
So I just want to touch on the professional business side of how Sean has helped me, if we've got
Thank
a minute.
Thank you, yeah.
Because there's one thing that constantly goes through my head. I was seeing Sean and my business was flat. I was 10 years ago, 8 years ago. I would do certain activities. And when I sat down with Sean, I said, I just don't understand. It's not growing. It's not this. She said, why are you scared to open the door to success? And I went, oh. And it instilled a confidence in me that if I open that door, it's just going to open opportunity. And I had never thought of that. I got to the top stair and just stopped. And so she has taught me how to push through and be confident in that.
Love hearing that. When you work with folks and it's centered around their business or their career, do you find that frequently it is for folks this plateau or this lack of, you know, what's possible beyond what I'm currently doing?
Absolutely. A lot of the business models are based on cause and effect. And if you do 1, 2, 3 or ABC, then you'll get 3, 4, 5 or DEF. And not everybody thinks that way and not everybody works that way. So especially a lot of multi-level marketing, they'll get a plan and they'll say, oh, I need to go out and do this. And then they'll come back and they'll say, that's not working for me. Why is it not working for me? And I'll say, because that's not the kind of person you are. If you had this personality type, it would work great for you. Mm-hmm. But that's not who you are. And so it's not going to. And so a lot of times people stop themselves because they are almost afraid of what's next. And a lot of times people that are real good at following directions don't always have the ability to be able to think outside the box, and that's what needs to happen. And so they stay inside the box and they stay inside the numbers, and they do that really well. But unless the numbers go to XYZ, they might not ever get there unless they have someone pushing or kicking or screaming or whatever it takes to get them to go.
I can see how the Myers-Briggs, again, makes it this great tool that you're obviously very well versed in and certified to share and to work with folks, right? I'm sensing that it kind of pulls, it's no longer personal. It just is, right? So I don't have to be, I can be unattached to it. You're helping me see these are behaviors and here's the background as to why, but they don't have to keep me stuck. And here's based on my personality, how I can grow and work within that.
Well, and I think in so many of our businesses, the company you're working for or the industry dictates how you should be growing and building your business. And like Sean said, it's not for everybody. It was not for me. Like how other loan officers were growing and building around me, I was uncomfortable with. which is why I go back to referral networking. And, you know, I'm not like every other loan officer. And Sean said, it's okay. You do your business holistically and different, and that's okay. And that was another big part of the growth.
I think it's important too. One thing that you learn coaching with Sean is that there are very few right and wrongs. I'm a very black and white person. And Sean has helped me see that just because you have this personality doesn't mean it's right or it's not a wrong trait. It's just you.
Just is.
This is just the way it is. So this is how you deal with that, how you work within that range or how you fit it to your own personality. You don't have to be like everybody else. And I think we lose track of that sometimes. It's very easy in our world to say, oh, I've got to do that, or I have to be this way. And it's good to be reminded, no, the way you are is the right way.
What do you think as you sit here and listen to these women share and celebrate who you are in their lives?
I just celebrate who they are in their lives. It really is about them. I feel very honored that I can be, I just call myself a straw, that I can connect them with their higher power. And I just hold the energy that goes back and forth. They both have been blessed by God, and they are just amazing people. And as they walk into their amazingness, then this is what you see. It's about them. It really is not about me.
I love that.
The Kleenex vortex is kicking in.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I do have Kleenex. Let me reach for it. There we go. That's now here and available on the table if you need it. This is not one of the questions that kind of anticipated asking, so feel free to say to me, that's a great question, and you'll have to come back around to me. I know part of what I struggled in my personal growth was this journey of self-discovery, which was very, for me, ended up being very woo-woo. I'm going to use that term because I feel things deeply. I meditate. I really kind of, you were just talking about being that, did you say straw for people, right? So you can just hold that space for them. Those kinds of experiences I'm very familiar with. And again, coming from a very analytical family and folks who lead from their head and most everything, law officers and engineers, that sort of thing. I was this, you know, little black sheep running through the fields with my hair blowing back and no one really knew what to do with me. And I share this and the question really, or the thought is for all of us to talk about is that when it comes to religion, there are often these set of rules. And you said this early on in our conversation, there's this set of rules and how we're supposed to be. And I found in my own personal discovery that I was less of a religious person, more of a spiritual person. And for some people, that's the same thing. But for me, it felt very different. So all that to say, as I listen to all three of you talk, and you are a pastor for a Lutheran church, and you also speak very elegantly and eloquently about spirituality and just this whole esoteric, I don't know, this intangible thing that we have as human beings living a divine experience. Have you ever experienced where people like challenge you on the soulness of this, or do you find that it really is a matched fit and no one ever questions that? That's a crazy question. I don't even know that came out well. Hopefully you can make something of that.
What I find is a lot of people are fear-based. And when they come at me, and I will use that term, with guns blazing, it's out of fear. And they come with this, I have to be right, they have to be right, or with this fear, because it's what they've chosen. And they're just waiting for me to tell them that they're wrong. And what I love about the Lutheran Church, the ELCA part of it, of which I'm a part of, is that that's not how we see things. Most people are really surprised to know that the Ten Commandments, who most people hold up and say, these are all these repressive things, and they're, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not do all of these. They were given in grace. They were given to a group of people that had all privileges taken away from them. They had been people that had been slaves to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh could come up and just kill anybody whenever Pharaoh chose, or could say, you're not going to be in this family anymore. You're going to be over here because you've got really strong bones and I need strong people to work in my rock quarry. So you're going to go do this. Or I want to have sex with your wife right now or your daughter or whoever. And so these people, when they were finally released, were given these 10 sets of this commandments, these 10 saying, people won't kill you anymore. This is not a good thing. People will not take your spouse. So it was given, it was grace given. And so when you come from a faith that has all of this grace upon grace, instead of these absolutes, you're wrong and shaming, it's amazing how that turns around. And so the God that I serve and the God that I believe in and the God that I preach about is one just of absolute and total love. And so when people come in fear, that's not the God I believe in. I don't believe in a God that you have to be afraid of. And because when people come in fear, it's because other people have instilled their fear on top of them. And we've got a choice to live in faith or to live in fear. And those are really the two that fight each other more than anything.
I think we need some comic relief. I think you should share the story about the woman who wouldn't come to church because of the snakes.
Oh. Okay. So I was in the gym working out, and it was at the end of my shift, and I was doing the horrible sit-ups that I hate more than anything on that ball that I hate to sit on. And so the gym instructor, the next person had come in, and so my gym instructor and the other woman were talking. And so they started talking about snakes in a pit and how they didn't go to church. And the woman that came in said she didn't go because she knew if she got thrown into a pit of snakes that she was going to get killed. And so my instructor said, well, Sean over there, she's a pastor. And she goes, what do you know about snakes being in a pit and killing people? And I said, I don't know any of that. And she goes, well, it's in the Old Testament. And I said, well, there's definitely snakes in the Old Testament, but I'm not aware. Can you tell me where I can find, because I'm always wanting to know new things about theology. Can you tell me where you can find these snakes in there? And she goes, no. She goes, I guess I heard about it when I was in the South. I was raised in the South. And I said, well, I've got to tell you, I was born and raised in Arkansas. I've lived in Texas and North Carolina and Alabama. So that's pretty much the South. And I have still never heard about these snakes that kill you if you get put in a pit. And if you're good, the snakes bite you and you live. And if you're bad, the snakes bite you and you die.
That was legitimately her belief and her understanding.
Yes. And so I said, I don't get it. I said, I happen to have a Bible with me on my phone. I would love for you to find it with me, because again, I was not trying to put her down.
I
just thought maybe she knew something I didn't know. And so she goes, I said, you know, were you in a class? Where did you learn that? And she looked at me and she goes, well, I guess I learned that on television. And I said, okay, so you've got television theology. Yes. And that's what most people have, or a large amount of people have television theology. And a lot of people walk around with the 13-year-old view of theology. It's what they learned in Sunday school and possibly through confirmation. But when you look at all the other important things, I know if I still took care of my finances as I did when I was 13, I would have no money. And if I had relationships like I did with 13, I would be crying every single day because my best friend didn't talk to me as much as I wanted to.
Right.
And so with all of these other huge areas in our lives, we have a tendency to learn more past 13. But oftentimes with theology, we stay stuck there and we think we know it all. And then we hit some point in our life and we're afraid to learn anymore because we think we should already know it and we'll be stupid if we go back and don't know. And that's what hurts my heart, because even with a master's degree in it, I learn new things every single day.
Always something new to learn. And I love that you've explained that we have a tendency to stop learning or asking the question, is this a fit for me? And where does this fit into my spiritual life? Based on sometimes something we heard or something we were told, and then we just latched on to that, even though it could be something really as untrue as what you've just described. And until we have someone in our life, I think, like you, who can help challenge us to look through a different lens and take more ownership to who we are spiritually and soulfully, then, of course, we can keep raising the bar and get through grief and create a new normal and that sort of thing. So what a blessing you are, not only to the people that you serve in your community and your church, but also in WSRG and the great folks who get to come work with you. Fascinating. We talked about several different aspects of life that you help people with, Sean. How about premarital counseling? Do you work with couples as they come into union and marriage, and do you help them get prepared for marriage?
Absolutely. And also post-marital counseling. It's interesting how much money people spend on weddings.
I was just going there with you. Go ahead.
How little money they want to spend preparing for the rest of their lives. But they will spend countless hours and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars for 4 to 5 hours for one evening. And yes, absolutely. The people that come beforehand usually don't need me because they already realize this is important, but they can learn more. And if you're going to commit to someone for the rest of your life, why would you not want to know that person? And there's a really cool thing that I use a lot about in Greek. There are 4 words for love. And in English, we use love as love. And so the first form of Greek love is sturgis, and it's the kind of love that you have for your children. It's the kind of love that you would do just about anything for to protect them and keep them. And then the second kind of love is eros, and that's where erotic comes from, and that's the sexual kind of love. And unfortunately, we seem to have a lot of relationships based on sex, and that lasts as long as sex lasts, but very rarely does sex make a marriage last very long. Then the third kind of love that you have is the philo love, which is what Philadelphia comes from, the city of brotherly love. Philo is love, friendship, and Delphia is small city or city, metropolis. And so that's the kind of love that we share around this table, the friend kind of love. And then the fourth kind is the agape love. And the agape love is the kind of love that God gives us and the kind of love that makes the world a better place. And so the true love between two people in a relationship is not 1 + 1 = 2, but 1 + 1 = 3, that you become better when you're with the person you're with than you could ever be by yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that's the love that makes you want to go out beyond you. And that's what WSRG does, is because we have that social aspect of it. So we're not just there about ourselves. We're there to go out and make the world a better place too. And so each person, as they get to know who they are, you just can't help but want to go out and make the world a better place when you get to that point. And so for all of us to have all 4 kinds of love in our lives, we're just really blessed when we can get to that point.
That was so yummy.
Yes.
I love that. What a great note to end on. We are at the top of our hour. I am so grateful for that that lens. I'm one of those people who say I love you all the time to everybody, because I really do feel that. And I'm familiar with the term agape love, but I had never heard these other terms before. So how fun it is to now be able to kind of not compartmentalize for any reason other than to be able to know the different types of loves that I'm experiencing when I'm experiencing it and be able to share that with others. So thank you. What a treat. I hope you guys have had a good time.
Very nice.
This is great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. So as we close out the show, I would love for each of you one more time to just share your name, the name of your company and organization, and where we can find you out on the internet. For our listeners who have not had a chance to get to know you until today, we want to make sure that they can connect with you further. Karen, would you start for us?
Sure. Karen Camblin, Senior Loan Officer with Guild Mortgage Company, and you can visit my website at guildmortgage.com/Karen Camblin.
Great. And Camblin is C-A-M.
B-L-I-N.
Great. Thank you for being here, Karen.
Thank you.
Again, WSRG is on Facebook. Just connect and kind of find out if there's an opportunity for you and your business to be represented. And if not, you guys can help guide them and get them on the wait list or substitute list or something like that.
Absolutely.
Huh? Okay, very good. And Sean, how about you?
Sean Pugh, Spirit-Led Life Coach, or Pastor Sean Pugh at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. It would be Pastor Sean, P-A-S-T-O-R-C-H-O-N, at blcmesa.org.
Very good. And thank you again for accepting our invitation to come and spend the morning with us and then being so wise to bring along these two beautiful souls with you to help kind of shape the conversation.
Only the best.
Yes, for sure. Pamela.
Pamela Burr, Your Computer Lady. And you can visit my website, yourcomputerlady.com.
That's easy.
Simple.
Very good. Well, thank you again, each of you, for being here. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki. Thanks for listening.